We are here today because of that exalted one who is indeed the most exalted one because he humbled himself to give all. And so it's the best way to start the week by remembering Jesus and gathering together to worship God. And it's a blessing to start the week that way. And we are blessed to have visitors with us. And we welcome you and appreciate your presence and your interest in these spiritual things as we are worshiping God. And now turn to look at a lesson from His Word. Statistics say that we are a society burdened with anxiety. According to the National Institute for Mental Health, 19.1% of U.S. adults have had an anxiety disorder in the last year, and that 31.1% will have one in their lifetime. And this anxiety disorder is basically defined as having sustained anxiety to the point that one cannot function in their normal activities. When you pair the anxiety statistics with the data about depression, which can be caused by anxiety, and suicide, which is sometimes a tragic outcome of anxiety and or depression, then it is notable the changes that have taken place over the last decade regarding suicide. The KFF, which is an independent, non-political research and polling organization, has data that shows that death by suicide in the last decade is up in virtually every category, with males and females, with different races, and in every age bracket but one. Now, statistics are a good starting point, but they can have limitations. However, I want you to consider anecdotally what your observation would be regarding people you've known, your own experiences. Does it seem as though there is more anxiety in American society? How do we understand all this? I think there is an irony here that is puzzling. So many different sources are saying there is increased anxiety and depression in our society. But what's interesting is regarding the things that can really cause anxiety, threats and problems, our culture has really removed or reduced many of the things that used to cause anxiety for people. Diseases are more controlled and less fatal. Premature deaths are not as common as many years ago. When's the last time the United States was invaded? I mean, there's 9/11, but do you understand that some nations in their history, they have frequent wars and invasions? Malnutrition and a lack of resources for just everyday needs. These are the kinds of things that centuries or even generations ago were daily burdens and issues that aren't in our society, at least not for the population as a whole. Now, it's also possible that some of those statistics I cited earlier and others that you can find, that if you went back 75 years or 175 years or 575 years, and there was someone going around with a clipboard asking them, or a tablet, and asking them about anxiety and going to doctors and going to other people and asking about that, it may be that we would have gotten some of the same statistics. It's possible. Or maybe there's just something about our age that's making it worse. I really don't know. But it's a topic. And one that a lot of people are talking about. Anxiety. Now, I know what most people think. They think, well, COVID caused this. Well, the statistics that I cited earlier were actually trending way before COVID-19 emerged. However, there are some statistics that show that the social isolation and the fear about disease and death increased it, and there are stats that back that up, but this is a longer trend. I want you to consider this morning that, first of all, regardless how we sort through all the statistics today and what to make of that and how to understand it, that the Bible talks about anxiety, which means that even 2,000 years ago plus, it was a human problem, because anxiety is common to the human experience, and God understands that. It is not something strange. It is not something that automatically means that I am somehow flawed, that I ever experienced this. This is something that happens. But the point is, how do we handle it? And we start by considering what guidance the Bible gives us regarding anxiety. The first thing we need to do, though, is to sort out our words and our concepts. I think it's important to note, at least for our purposes, and I think there's a Bible point to this, that there is a difference between stress and anxiety. Let's talk about stress, first of all. Consider a couple of Bible examples. We start in Mark chapter 5. In Mark, the fifth chapter, the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is going about teaching his message and healing people. And a man in desperation comes to him. In Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 22, "Then one came of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and alive.'" This man was experiencing stress. It's indicated here by the desperate state in which he begs Jesus to come and heal the daughter. And who wouldn't be stressed because of what he was experiencing? There's nothing that he did that was wrong. These things happen. Nothing about the little girl that was flawed, that she got sick necessarily. These things happen. He's having to experience this stressful thing. Turns out great. Jesus heals her. Actually, he raises her because she does die. Consider even Jesus himself. We sung a song earlier about this. In Luke chapter 22, this is Jesus in the garden, just really moments before he's taken and he's arrested and he's put on trial. Eventually he'll be put to death. When he's praying to the Father for the cup to pass, we read this in Luke 22, starting in verse 42, that he was praying, saying to the Father, "If you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This does not indicate weakness on Jesus' part. This does not indicate some lack of love on his part for us, but it communicates to us the great burden that it was, not merely that he would die, but that he would die having to bear the guilt of the sins of the world. And this created agony in him, and there was even a physical manifestation of that. Jesus is carrying a huge burden, paying for the sins of humanity. He's weighed down and suffered stress. And that's what stress sometimes is. It's a burden that is placed on you. So let's define what we mean by stress. It's facing a difficult circumstance or circumstances. It's enduring problems. It's confronting dilemmas. It's pressure from the outside. Let's work with that definition of stress. Stress is external. It's what happens to you. And usually you can't control it. It is the landscape through which you must pass. It's like you've got an important job interview and you have a flat tire. You're probably not changing that tire and whistling. You're probably going, ugh. It's when your parents are aging and it's hard to know what to do for their care. It's when your teenager is giving you problems. I mean, it's just things that happen in life that stress us. And though we can put ourselves in stressful situations, like taking on too many responsibilities, we put too many things on our shoulders and that's too much to bear. Really what we're talking about with stress, it's something that's not of our own doing. It's just the difficult things that happen in life. That's stress. Anxiety is different. Consider a couple examples of anxiety. One is in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter. Earlier in this gospel, Jesus comes to the house of two people who really become his very close friends, sisters, Mary and Martha. We read in Luke 10, verse 38, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Martha was too worried about something that was not a bad thing, preparing a meal and serving the guests in her house, but she was so concerned about it that she was worried about it, and actually it reveals that she was focused on not the better thing. It was better to listen to the teaching. She allowed herself to get agitated about all she had to get done and how she didn't have enough help. She's anxious about this. Jesus talks about anxiety over in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and that should be Matthew 6. I changed that at the last minute, but I changed it to last minute. So our men that take care of that, our guys are too much on the ball. In Matthew chapter 6, so just turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. This is what is commonly called Sermon on the Mount. And right into the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, in talking about his kingdom people, says this is what he wants of them. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Jesus continues to talk about the trouble with being anxious about our life on earth and our physical needs and how that we need to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Here, this is a state of being anxious, which you have some control over. Anxiety is common, but the difference in stress and anxiety is that stress is something that happens to you. Anxiety is something that you allow to happen to yourself. So, another way to look at anxiety is the idea of worry, concern to the point of it being a burden, fear, agitation, internal tension, and disturbance. Anxiety is internal. Stress is external. Now, some anxiety is just normal. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, about his anxiety or concern for the churches. We're going to have some anxiety. Point is, how do we handle it and what will it do to us? To a great extent, anxiety is self-regulated. It's like this. Stress is like the weather. It just happens, right? Sometimes it's very pleasant. Sometimes it's a challenge and difficult. Stress is like the weather. Anxiety is like a thermostat inside of you. Sometimes you have to work on adjusting it to get it where it needs to be. But there's a difference between weather and the thermostat setting. Stress is really part of life, and actually, stress has real benefits. Stress teaches us how to cope with things. And thus, we become more adjusted people. And stress helps us to grow in our personality and grow in our character. Because of these challenges, they teach us things. And they develop us. Anxiety, not regulated, anxiety not controlled, is damaging. And can lead to all kinds of destructive thoughts and actions. So how does the Bible help us in this? Well, the Bible has a lot to say about it, actually, but there's one particular text I want to go to, and yeah, you've heard of it, Philippians 4. So Philippians chapter 4, turn over there with me, and we're just going to focus on this one text, this one passage, and there is so much in this regarding how the Bible can help us with anxiety. As Paul is finishing this letter to the Christians at Philippi, a group that he was really connected to, that meant a lot to him, he is being guided by the Holy Spirit to give them some very practical instructions here. And though these statements are self-standing, I do want you to see that as a unit here. In Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, down to verse 7, this is what the apostle writes. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want you to consider how that this passage provides an anti-anxiety approach to thinking and living. And it's both. It's how we look at things and what's happening inside our head, as well as our behaviors. And though you could separate these statements, and again, they're self-standing, they're all packed in here together, and anxiety is in the middle of it. And I would have you see that everything that is said in this passage supports the idea of how to manage anxiety. So we start with the idea, and it's bookended. It starts with rejoicing in the Lord, and it ends with peace of God. And references to the Lord throughout the text. The foundation to this way of thinking, the core to this way of living, is recognizing there's a God. And maybe that's at the root of why moderns have so much anxiety. There is an almighty being who created all of us and everything around us. He rules the universe. And he can affect our lives more than anybody can affect our lives. And he can affect our lives more than we can affect our own life. And knowing that is at the core of managing anxiety. You take a little child that's upset about something. And to us, the things that upset children usually are sort of silly, superficial. We don't get it. But they get upset over things. You know what sometimes helps a kid? Is just crawl up in the arms of mom or dad, the mom and dad that they know love them, the mom and dad that have created a secure home for them. And they get up in the arms of mom and dad, and then after a few minutes, things just are okay. And before you know it, they're running around laughing and playing again. It's just that simple sometimes. Just knowing that we're in the Father's arms, because we have a Heavenly Father who can lift burdens off of us. Now, I want you to consider how that certain personalities tend to create anxiety. And the personality who is obsessed with controlling everything around them. The personality who tries to control every person around them. That person has a lot of anxiety. Because they're trying to rule and control everything around them. And it's a losing battle. Because there's only one who controls everything. And that's God. And when you know God as the controller, there is a burden that's lifted. And thus the worry, the fear, the agitation diminishes. He says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. He repeats it. And this is a command. This is an action to rejoice. It's not like experiencing joy. It's being joyful. Like there's a choice involved. And he talks about thanksgiving. When you make a request known to God, do it with thanksgiving. In other words, you're noting what you've been given and you are grateful for it. Listen, life is stressful at times. But when there is a buzz and there is just, you know, some days it's just like, you know, an explosion everywhere you're looking, everywhere in your life, there's just things popping. But if you really stop and think about it and sort through things, there are always reasons to give thanks to God and to rejoice in Him. Rejoice in who He is and what He's done for us and what He provides and what He's got planned for us. And to be grateful for all that. Thus, the Bible is depicting that even when there is stress being created around us and that stress is bearing down on us, that inside of us, with this spirit of joy and gratefulness, there's a peace. You ever get caught out in a storm? The wind's blowing, the rain's beating down. Maybe you hear a crack of thunder and lightning, and you dart into your house, and it's calm and dry. And you get those wet clothes off, and you get clean, dry clothes on. And you look out and you see the rain pouring down, but it's dry in there. And you sit down in a soft seat and it's warm. There are storms that happen. But we can retreat within ourselves when we focus on the gifts from God that we have every day. And we can be grateful for those things, even little things as well as the big things. And if we focus and work on seeing those things and being grateful for those and rejoicing in God, then that becomes our safe haven. Now, the personality who always sees the negative. Listen, a personality that always sees the negative and the personality that only sees the positive, that's imbalanced, both of them. But the personality that always sees the negative and is fixated on the negative and what they don't have, or what they should have, or what they shouldn't be having to go through, and what's not happened to them, etc., they're going to be filled with anxiety. Do yourself a favor. Relieve that inner tension by enjoying God's gifts and giving Him thanks for them. It's a process that lessens the anxiety. He mentions how that the Lord is at hand. The Bible plainly teaches two things in the New Testament, that Jesus Christ is returning. He's returning for sure. He's going to raise the dead. He's going to judge mankind. He's going to gather His people and take them to the Father's house to live in heaven forever. The other thing about that assurance that Christ is coming back is He's coming as a thief in the night. We don't know when He's coming. So the idea that the Lord is at hand just means really the idea that not that it's tomorrow or the next week, but rather the idea that He is coming and it's before us. And for all of us who live, it should be before us. It's right. It should be right in front of us, the reality of that. Now, since that is the case, that Christ is coming back to judge and to rule, this means that everything will be made right. He's ruling today, but He's coming for His people to rule over them in heaven forever. What that tells us is everything's going to be made right. that there's coming a day when everything's going to get fixed. That everything's going to get worked out in the end. You know, sometimes people say, oh, it'll all work out. Well, sometimes it does in our lives, and sometimes it doesn't. But this is something that's going to happen that's going to fix everything, make everything right. Everything's going to be sorted. The personality who gets agitated about how their life is unfair, that there are things about their life, well, that person has that, and that person's never had to deal with that, and they look at themselves and they think, it's not fair. My life's not fair. Or they look at the world in general and they see so much injustice. And it's true, there is, has always been, and will be injustice. That person who agitates on those things has a lot of anxiety. And there are people out there, there are groups out there, there are systems out there that feed that. They have a vested interest in people being agitated because then they can funnel that agitation for their ends. Social organizations, political organizations, etc., economic organizations, etc. They're playing you. If you realize that the Lord is the judge, and he is the fixer of all things, and he is coming one day to judge and fix all things, that anxiety will fade because it's going to be taken care of when the Lord comes. And there is a social dimension too to anxiety. He says, let your reasonableness, some translations say gentleness, some say gentle spirit, some say forbearance, let that be known to everyone. When people mistreat us or cause problems that affect us, it might not be directed at us, but they cause problems and it impacts us. That's stressful. And we have to learn to maneuver through those things with or around those people and what they're doing. Yet we oftentimes have anxiety when people we see are not living the way we think they ought to live or not doing the things we think they ought to be doing. Might be at work, might be in the family, the neighborhood, just in society in general. And the personality that has an acute sensitivity to fairness. Sometimes you see this in little kids. It's not fair. They got more than I did, something like that. Some people just have that propensity. And in a way, there is a good side to that in that they're aware of what's right and wrong. But they become very focused on where there's an injustice, where there's an unfairness. There's a heightened sensitivity to that. That personality is going to have a lot of anxiety because injustice and unfairness in our personal lives and all around us, it's abundant. We can't change other people. I get up on a regular basis and I yak at people all the time. And I thought differently when I was young. I came to realize I can't change anybody. I can help some people, but I can't change them. People have to change themselves with God's help. God can change people if people let God change them. And we need to embrace that limitation with everybody around us. We can't control them and we can't change them. If they need some help, we can help them. But the fundamental experience of changing, it has to happen in that person with the help of God. So, let us embrace that reality. And realize nobody's going to get away with anything. In the end, the Lord will see to that. What we really need is every one of us is grace and mercy from the Lord. And what God wants us to do is leave that judgment up to Him because He's the one who knows all and controls all. And we need to treat people with gentleness, be reasonable with them, be forbearing with them. In other words, show grace and mercy to other people, not excusing their bad behavior or immoral behavior or wickedness in any way, but to show them grace and mercy, and the same grace and mercy that we want God to extend to us. And when we do that with people, we receive a blessing. We have less agitation and tension inside of us. Because instead of trying to look at other people and realize where they're missing it and how they need to change that and they need to fix that and we got to do something about this and I got to do something about that, you just create this turmoil inside of you and it's not productive. But when you resolve yourself to let the Lord to work out the fairness and the justice, and your goal with people is to show gentleness, forbearance, and let the Lord sort it all out, then it lessens our anxiety. And then he talks about that when something really is troubling us, what to do. And that is by prayer and supplication. Supplication meaning to request something of God with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. When we feel ourselves becoming anxious, we need to tell God about it. Anything and everything. And you don't need a referral. And you don't need an appointment. And you don't have to show a card. If you belong to God, all you have to do is call on Him. Now, I know that most people work with emails these days, but humor me, if you're over a certain age, you remember at work, you used to have mailboxes? Depending on the kind of work you had, but a lot of work sites had mailboxes. And so if there's some kind of document or item that somebody needed to get to you, they stuck it in your mailbox, and you went by the mailroom once a day or the break room, and there was a set of mailboxes, little cubby holes. If you need to pass something on to someone, you stuck it in there and they would get it. Well, take that thing that's worrying you, take that thing that you're fearful about, take that thing that you're agitated about, and put it in God's box. That's where it goes. When you had those mailboxes at work, did somebody ever make a mistake and stick something in your box that's not yours? You know, here's that report. That doesn't belong to me. It goes to him. Oh, there's a big paycheck. That doesn't belong to me. Okay? There are things that's not ours because we can't help it. We can't fix it. It belongs to God. He wants us to put it in His box. And you do that by talking to Him and telling Him that. God is better at bearing those things and handling those things that cause us so much anxiety. Everybody's got a different approach to this and personalities. And some people, when something breaks on your car or plumbing problem or something breaks at the house, appliance, you just automatically call someone, okay? I'm too cheap for that. First thing I try to do is fix it. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. But I want to try to fix it myself. I remember one time I had this car, had a lot of miles on it. It's a sedan and had power windows. And the window in the back passenger seat went down about halfway and it wouldn't go back up. The motor in the door would not lift the window. And I'm like, I'm not going to pay for one of those motors. First of all, hardly anybody rides in the back seat, this car I drive. I'm not going to take it some place and let them tear that door apart and put it. I'm not going to do that. So I went online, first time I ever went on YouTube and learned how to do something, and I fell in love. And I found how to take the door apart. I can't believe a guy who owned the body shop would show me that. But some dude posted a YouTube on how to take a Camry back passenger door apart, and I took it apart. It was not a very clean job, but I took it apart. And I got in there and I saw this motor and I saw this crank mechanism. And so I ran that window up. I stuck a piece of metal in the gears. And then I took a bunch of Gorilla Glue. Because I knew, don't need to roll that window down. So I permanently locked that window in place and put that together, and it was beautiful. I loved it. Isn't that how we fix most of our problems? It's a pretty sloppy job. And sometimes it works for a little while. But what if somebody really need to roll the window down? The guy I sold the car to about 3 years later, I told him, I said, it doesn't go down. I fixed it. It won't go down. It will not go down. So you know that? He bought the car anyway. But that's how we fix our problems. It's pretty sloppy. And sometimes we can't even, in a sloppy fashion, fix our problems. And that causes so much anxiety. So why even try? What this text is telling us is call upon God. Surrender to what is causing you anxiety. Surrender that to God. He's the master fixer. Doesn't mean it's fixed exactly how we thought it ought to be fixed or in the time span. But trust him, he's the master fixer. And then the passage says also, and the peace of God. It's like this is an outcome to all of this. This prayer, this trust, this being reasonable with others, rejoicing in the Lord, thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If a person has the kind of personality that they've got to have a satisfactory answer to every question and every dilemma, well, that person will always be riddled with anxiety. Because you're never going to get all the answers. And there's something better than all the answers. And that's peace. We are finite creatures and will never understand all things. That's part of the illusion of being a modern. Moderns relish in how far we've come, how much we now know, the wonders of medical science, the wonders of technology, which has allured us into concluding and assuming that we can get an answer to everything. And it's a joke. Don't fall for that. We have limitations. So what do? I mean, that idea of limitations causes anxiety right there. Well, there's one who's not limited. Who can help us? And knowing that he's with us is better than having all the answers. I mean, it's like if you go in for a surgery. We've all had a little surgery or a big surgery, probably, most of us. The things I've had worked on, primarily my shoulders, my ankle, I don't exactly know how they... I've got 9 screws in my ankle. I don't know exactly how they put those in there. I don't want to know how they put those in there. But when my ankle's like this and it's shattered and they say, we're going to take you in there, I said, do it. Just take me in there. Okay, fix it. You just... Sometimes... Knowing all how it's going to work and having all the details is not as important as knowing it's going to be taken care of. Because you trust the one who can take care of it. Only God understands all things. And if we know God, that's the main thing. Because knowing God is the thing that brings real peace. The only thing. You know, there are other paths and other resources for dealing with anxiety. And there are some benefits in those things, those other resources. But this is the resource for dealing with anxiety. And here's why. It's ancient. You're like, what? I don't want something ancient. Something written 2,000 years ago? What does that have to do with me? How can I relate to that? It doesn't connect to my life. I live in 20... What happened when we just read those passages? Are those things that you deal with? Do those things sound like there's an answer there? This is writing not based upon passing fads or the influence of the latest experts and gurus who, if they live long enough, their ideas are oftentimes overturned, if not after they die. This is dealing with things that are true of all people, of all times, of all societies. This is substantial. This cuts to the core. And the reason why is because it's breathed out from God, who is our maker, who knows all things. This is the ultimate guide for dealing with anxiety and dealing with everything. But there is a condition here. And that is, this is all centered on God. Which means you've got to work out the God question. Is there a God? Who is He? How can I know Him? How can I be with Him? And it's found in the last thing that it says in this text. That the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds, takes care of all that agitation and anxiety in Christ Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, is the ultimate communication and the ultimate gift to human beings. And He is the way to God, because in Him is truth and life. And to prove that He was from God, He came to earth and only spoke and only did things that the Son of God could do. And to prove His worthiness as our leader and our guide, He sacrificed Himself totally to pay for our sins and reconcile us, to bring us to God. And when a person believes upon that, that Jesus is the Christ and did all those things and is baptized into Christ, then they begin to live in Christ Jesus. And as they walk with Him as His disciple, His follower, and they learn from Him, they're in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, you find the peace of God for your heart and your mind. Brother Hilton's going to lead us in another song. And the gospel message is what is found right here in this text, that salvation and all the answers and guidance we need is found in Christ. And if we're prepared to be His follower today by responding to that gospel, then we encourage you to let it be known by coming forward as we stand and sing.